If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt Ends Break continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what? I think we should contemplate buying. She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under the
on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
First 2 hours have flown on by. It is college football season. The NFL is around the corner. We're turning, we're burning, we're having a lot of fun. A quick look ahead for later in the week. The Dirty Poll will continue. It will wrap up on Friday with the number one team in the country. Who could it be?
I think you're wearing them.
Ooh, am I? Or am I not?
Well, knowing you, you put them number two just so you can say nobody's giving us a chance, including yourself.
Do I seem like the kind of stitious guy that would rank his team number one preseason?
No.
Does that seem like something I would do?
You put them right at two to where you're saying.
Maybe I don't even have them in the top 12. You don't know. They might not even be in there.
Come on, bro.
A lot of question marks. A lot of question marks.
What are we doing?
It'll wrap up on Friday. And then Thursday, we are going to have at 7 o'clock, 7 a.m. sharp, be here, be square, Jamarcus Shepherd, head coach at Oregon State, will make his second appearance on the show.
Third
appearance.
I had him
on the
when
show.
You were out once.
That's right, when I was out. You were on vacation. So he will join us. Their season begins in Houston this weekend. And so the head coach of the Beavs, hoping to have him on throughout the regular season. He will hop on Thursday at 7 o'clock. Around my household, we're doing one thing and one thing only, and that's gearing up for Saturday. We're getting ready. Teddy Ballgame's going to be down
there. What
does
that mean?
We're playing fight song when I get home. We're working on his duck calls, picking out what jersey we want to wear.
So what you're doing is you're gearing him up to emotionally be a devastated 30-plus-year-old adult by what happens with 18 to 24-year-old kids.
Yep, that's exactly right. Okay. That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah. Because you're going to be a 68-year-old guy someday. Teddy
yelling
will be whatever
about
that age gap is.
And we still not won a national championship?
Dad. Mom said you couldn't get up from all fours this year. Is that true?
Yeah, the back gave out.
I was barking during the game. I couldn't. Michigan State made me go quiet.
I hope we win one title before I die.
I am a little worried about his bad juju because he is 0-for-1. I took him to the Indiana game last year. He's 0-for-1. But he'll be down there this weekend, eagerly awaiting the return to Autzen Stadium.
Can I ask you,
as the Ducks begin?
What age would you be where you would legitimately be worried that
how many in a row?
No, how old are you? And they haven't won the title.
Ooh.
Where you're like, they're not going to win this in my lifetime. I'm a Cubs fan who misses the 2016 season because I died.
Ooh, you died in 2015?
Right.
Ouch.
Like, what age are you where that's hitting your thought process?
If they don't win one in the next 3 years, I'm probably going to go there mentally. Probably going to be there.
If only I turn be like 42,
I turn 40 in three years.
Lanning.
I know. I'm not saying that they can't do it, but also when you get to 40, you probably have a midlife crisis. I could get struck down at any moment. You don't know how many years you got left on this planet. Let's go. Strike while the iron's hot. They begin on Saturday. I'll be down there. Pre-game's going to start all that. The whole kit and caboodle. We'll all be down there. Me, Dusty, and Anthony. And their season begins right here on The Fan against Boise State. Let's hear from Bill Connolly of ESPN. His Hawaii pick did not get off to a good start. I've been there before, Bill. I know how it feels. Ole Miss probably going to do it to me next week. Here is Connolly. Hey, what are the question marks about Oregon this season, Bill?
I guess my one concern is the common thread in each of the last two losses in their playoff. They're getting blown out by Ohio State, getting blown out by Indiana. Even though they played better against those teams in the regular season, just watching the offensive lines just get blown up, like two different quarterbacks getting tons of pressure on them, that was a concern. And they've lost a couple starters on the offensive line, so we got to see that unit holds up. But it's really just about my only question mark, I think.
So as an outsider looking in, Saturday the game starts 12:30. Boise State's in town, a Pac-12 team, a G6 rep potentially in the college football playoff. What are we most eager to see about how it looks on the field for Oregon? Is it the offensive line? Is it the play calling? Yeah. What's the first thing that's going to stand out to us?
The tough thing here first is just like, and I say this with an immense amount of respect for Boise State and the program and the culture and everything, right? What they do against Boise State is not going to change probably in any way what I think, unless they have the similar start to the 2 years ago where they barely beat Idaho and also barely escaped Boise State.
Yeah.
If that happens, we're going to have an interesting conversation Monday.
Ironically, they ended up going 13-0 and winning the Big Ten before the Rose Bowl year.
But if they go through and they cover this spread, or they handle the business the way that Vegas thinks that they will,
yeah,
I'm not going to come in Monday and say, well, this, and that is better than I thought. I'm already going in with very high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know is kind of what Lanning was alluding to. I think it was Friday. I don't know if you played the cuts. Maybe it was Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
I read it yesterday, but just some of his comments of how camp has gone, how he has viewed his players. He said that, the players are literally the coaches. Like, the coaches are there. They're planning everything. They're trying to put the guys in the right spots. But it is such a player-led team, more so than maybe he's ever had, that he feels so comfortable with that kind of culture he's created that I think they're going in with everything you'd want them to go in with.
Yeah.
To me, it's about, are you going to look the part right away, or do you have this weird half first quarter, full first quarter, is it 7-3 rust factor because, we're getting the gears going a little bit here.
Right, separate the second half kind of thing.
You come out the gate and it's 14-0 5 minutes into the first quarter, there's going to be a lot of people going, okay, this is what I thought we would see.
Right.
And that's not to dismiss Boise State. It's just to merely point out the talent gap here.
Mm-hmm.
What the prognosticators think about the difference in these two programs. So it's more this buildup of how many of these guys decided to forego the NFL? How many of these guys are coming back? They weren't eligible for the NFL, but they're like, they had such great seasons last year. And if they all come out the gate showing you, no, we're ready to go. We're not playing around this year. This is our season. Yeah, you're going to feel a certain way about that. So I'm more just looking for them to come out and show us all of the hype right away, out the gate. There's no hesitation with this thing.
You go back to the 90s and Bilotti's teams. Every year the Ducks had a special team, like in consideration for number one rankings and BCS and all of that stuff. It's when the defense was elite. And they weren't having to outscore teams 45-42 to snake out victories, that sort of thing. And if the defense comes out and suffocates what many think is a decent Boise State offense, like they can't do anything, then it's on.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up because so much attention this offseason has been paid to, and as Connolly highlights, right? Like we all know, anybody that follows football can tell you what are the question marks on Oregon's team. Offensive line. Two new coordinators, probably throw linebackers in there. Yeah. You interview 15 different experts on Oregon. They're all going to tell you, hey, what are the questions on Oregon this year? Well, the offensive line, you got two new coordinators and linebackers, a bit of a question mark. It's the same for literally every person. I think to connect both your guys' points, because I agree with what you're saying, like the idea of those being question marks, we will not get answers on those. At least we should not get answers on those until you probably play USC at the end of the month. Just from a talent standpoint, like, play calling should not matter that much in your first couple of games. You don't have to be an expert or a brilliant, offensive coordinator to out-talent Boise State, Oklahoma State, and Portland State before you play USC at the end of the month. And so there's this idea that we focus so much on those that I almost kind of want to turn it on the other side for me, especially in week one. And one of the bigger questions that I have about Oregon this year and these lofty expectations and can they live up to them
is will the things we believe that are going to be dominant be as dominant as we believe they will be, if that makes sense. Oregon returned everybody on their defensive line. They have a ton of depth behind the key guys. They love that group, and they have been raving about them all camp. What was Oregon at last year in red zone defense? Somewhere 80, 90th in the country. Where was Oregon ranked in sacks? Somewhere 80, 90th in the country. Mm-hmm. Where was Oregon in tackles for loss last year? Somewhere, you know, down near the hundreds in the country. Like, they were not a good team in terms of wrecking havoc and getting after the quarterback. Now, they'll tell you their pressure rates indicate that they were close and that they were an arm's reach away, or, like, you know, a split second here or there from making a play that maybe they didn't make because they couldn't quite get there on time. That's what I'm looking for week one. The question mark stuff, like, if the offensive line, to your point, comes out and plays well against Boise State, no disrespect to Boise State, that's not Indiana's front. That's not Ohio State's front. That's not, like, that's not Georgia potentially in a playoff game or Notre Dame in a semifinal game. You should be dominant against Boise State. You're bigger and stronger than them. Doesn't guarantee it's going to happen. It's college football. Crazier things have happened, and they showed that 2 years ago. It's more about, for me, the idea, the two position groups that I will circle, because Dante's going to get so much attention and so much pressure on him this year. The defensive line, how dominant can they be? Can they come out against a Boise State and just single-handedly win the game?
I think on paper, right? this is not the best group.
Without a doubt, in program history. In the nation and in program history, yeah. Like, you're in the conversation in both of those things. You should dominate this football game.
Yeah.
You should dominate. You should take over the football game and dominate.
Yep.
And the other position group that I will point out that I think has a chance to be a real game changer for them, and I would argue easily.
Secondary?
Secondary, sure. But it's the best it's ever been in the program is your wide receiver group.
Yeah.
Literally every player who has had a microphone or a coach who has had a microphone put in front of their face, what have they said about Evan Stewart all fall camp?
What has Evan Stewart said about
right?
the season?
What did DeCorian Moore said? I want to be the best wide receiver in the country. Evan Stewart has been claimed as the best wide by his teammates, the best wide receiver in the country. That's a group that needs to be elite. It has been a position group that, historically speaking, for Oregon, they've gotten into big games, and whether it be sometimes because of injury, sometimes because of suspension, they have not been up to snuff in the biggest moments of your season. And they should have two bona fide number ones with the Jeremiah McClellan as a 1B, as your number three wide receiver, not even counting Iverson Hooks and what he can bring in the slot and all the other young guys you have behind that.
Or your tight end.
Or your tight end, who might be a first-round pick. Like, those are the two groups that I circle for Saturday. These are the kind of games as a defensive line you should just simply dominate Boise State. And as wide receivers, there should never be moments, if you're that talented, mm-hmm. that they could bottle you up and wrap you up and not let you get loose in man-to-man or zone coverage, and you should go out and dominate the football game. The question marks, we will figure those out as the season goes on. This week for me is mainly about, can those groups be as dominant as I think they can be? And if they can, then maybe the thought process goes a little bit deeper of how far this team can go.
I love that, too, because I think you're so right to point out some of those stats. Like, the defense felt really good, but you point out some of those stats.
They were not good in some very key
those are alarming
categories.
Stats to say where they finished in those rankings of those, right? I think the other thing I kind of wonder, and this is more so a broader picture, and I know we'll get into some Boise State-esque stuff this week, but as the season kicks off, I was thinking about this yesterday. Is Dan Lanning going to miss? Is every coach destined to miss? I you can say miss in the sense of, like, game prep or what they were going into the playoff game when they ultimately got blown out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking from a decisional standpoint in the season.
Mm-hmm.
The season, how do you argue with what he is in the regular season? He's Ryan Day-esque. He does not lose to teams that he shouldn't.
In the last 3 years, he's lost two regular season games.
And it's been to national champions, Indiana and Ohio State.
Well, the regular season went 3 years ago would have been Washington, but they were in the national
They got to the Natty.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody's made a big deal, you mentioned it there, of the coordinators, right? In-house, we've talked about that. He did not outsource that at all. It was always going to be these guys, I trust them immensely. Oh, one guy was a coordinator years ago for a bad program. I don't know if he can be good. And the other guy we don't know much about. We're learning as we go. You talk about the transfer portal. Who played safety last year and was huge for them?
Right, Dylan Thienemann.
Well, what did he do to fill that gap?
Got another guy, Coy Parrish.
Minnesota cat, right? So, like, he seemingly does such an exceptional job of replacing player and coach.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm asking is merely how many coaches in the sport end up having a miss, two misses, a bad hire here and there, right? Like, I heard a little bit of Pate yesterday, and Pate was talking about Fickell. And he thinks Fickell could be on the hottest of hot seats, and if they lose,
he thinks Luke Fickell could be fired, and he's like, I'd hire Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell just made the bad hires at the start of his run at Wisconsin, and he's right. trying to catch up to it. Lanning hasn't had that. Lanning has been largely perfect in the transfer portal coaching decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to happen this year, but it's a huge point of the season, yep. given some of the narrative-based stuff. Is Coy Parrish going to be as good as Dylan Thienemann was?
Right.
Right? Mateo was, I thought, massively disappointing last year, to your point. Are you going to step up and produce this year?
Change his body. He's a little bit leaner, a little bit thinner.
Well, and Tuioti coming in this year, it's a little bit of what we were hearing about Mateo. And then Mateo didn't live up to that quite that billing. So, like, there's just a lot on the line, I think, at a lot of different spots. And it's another big takeaway is any of this going to be a landing miss, or are we just going to keep rolling with he's identifying the right talent everywhere, and he knows exactly who to coach what positions and groups. It's just a matter of right matchups, and eventually he'll break through, right?
Health, so like, at the right spot or whatever.
That, yeah, there's a lot of that stuff that I'm also watching for that I think is kind of hanging over the overall program.
Yeah, I would chalk up Mekhi Hughes as a whiff last year, but other than that, the point completely taken. But there's been a lot of success
and
stories.
That's a fair thing to throw back at me, but how much of that
had to do with the other guys just being better?
Well, yeah, also narrative-based stuff, right? Like, yeah. Hughes was this big G6 running back that everybody had seen. And
yeah, he killed it at Tulane.
Oh, here we go. And, like, they didn't seem to worry about that at all, that
right.
he wasn't very – because they had stud freshmen.
Right.
So it's like – that. Yeah, that's one you could throw, but it didn't
impact
them at all.
Yeah. At the end of the year, it did because of depth, and then he ends up hitting the portal, so that certainly didn't help when they desperately needed a running back.
But the end of the season depth thing is a
different conversation.
Football stuff, yeah. right? So
yeah, it is – I mean, a lot of attention will go on the question of did he hit right in the right spots in terms of the portal and the coordinator hires, because it was a – I don't know if controversial is the right word. It was a unique decision just to simply promote from within. Especially when you have the resources like Oregon does. On the outset of the season beginning, I will say, I understand completely why he did it, because you were in a spot where everybody's returning, not everybody, but you know, you get what I'm saying. And you had a good team last year. A lot of pieces were on that team last year. And you just, I think the idea of this season was continuity and not making the offense and defense learn new schemes, terminologies, and systems while coming off of this 11-1, 12-1 season, whatever they were last year before losing at the end to Indiana. I understand that argument. Whether it works out or not, I can get the logic behind it. And if it goes sideways, like, I don't think Oregon's going to be one of those places where they drag their feet and, like, that clearly was a mistake. That was a bad hire. We need to move on. You're going to have a lot of new faces. A lot of guys are going to be gone next year. And you'll be in a bit of a reset year next year, more so than you were this year. So in the short term, I understand it completely. And again, I'll go back to, I think the tough part with Oregon's schedule this year is I don't know if we're going to get answers to the questions on their roster until later in the season.
It's going to take a while, yeah.
If they beat USC, is that enough of an answer for people the coordinator hires?
Yeah, I'd also just say this. Like, let's wait and see. But, like, on the start of this stuff, like, I'm not sure if I put USC. It's a big game on paper. It's a big game for Lincoln. It's
a bigger
LA.
Game for USC.
I still think that gap exists, and I think we'll kind of see that. When you're playing as many freshmen at key positions,
right.
How much of that can you bank on? I'd follow up with this, too, because I think your point is right. Like, he kept the coordinators and hired them because why change this?
Everybody's back.
Yeah, why make all these guys learn different, slight schematic differences or new play calls? Like, they're going to tweak things, but why do it? I think the other thing he's banking on is the idea of, like, now you're building with the guys behind your guys with these new guys.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have the new guys stepping up, everything's still the same for everybody. Nobody has to learn. And by the way, how do you even define how to move on? Like, if their offense sputters, struggles all year, is inconsistent, awful, and they lose early in the playoff, yeah, dude, he's going to probably move on from a Maringer. But if they have a similar season offensive output standpoint-wise, and they lose their second or third playoff game,
right.
I don't think he's making a change, per se.
And I would say, I don't know if you need to. I mean, I guess right. It depends on how it looks and how it goes throughout
the course
of the season.
But if it's good all year,
right.
Why is that different than how you finished last year?
It's not any different. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot that goes into those decisions that's beyond even the season at hand.
Yeah.
And I think, to your point, why make our current guys who are going to be out next year learn new stuff? Why not just have them, the guys behind them, learn all this, so when they're coming back next year, everything's even more in hand? So It's an interesting thing sitting here, is this guy has largely proven, I think, in his tenure, one, he is a lead, even if he doesn't have a title behind him. You don't question him the way you you question other coaches. You have questions, sir, but you're not. I don't know if, is there anybody out there concerned that they're not going to make the playoff barring some crazy injury we don't see coming? So
no.
Right. So to me, it's about just all the decisions lining up and being the right decisions. And then all of the talk about the players leading this thing, are they going to carry Oregon over the hump and get to a spot he hasn't been? National championship game.
Got to get there this year. It all starts on Saturday. We'll obviously have more on the Ducks throughout the course of the week and a little bit more on Boise State, because on the other side of this coin is it's a massive game for the G6, for Boise, for the Pac-12, right? Them being competitive at Autzen Stadium next year was the biggest thing on their resume. When the year that they made the playoff,
it might be the thing this year too, because they play Memphis in a couple weeks, and
right.
That's probably going to be a very big deciding factor here.
If they hang, and this is a 10-point game in the third quarter, going into the fourth quarter,
that's
right? Like that's the talking point coming out of the game. It's Boise is going to be a playoff team and probably the best of that class in college football this year. 12:30 kick Saturday down at Autzen. By the way, I'm not going to jinx it because that's not real. I'm getting such a chub over the weather on Saturday. Have you seen the forecast for Eugene?
I'm seeing showers on my Portland.
Stop raining by then.
Well, first off, I'm okay with a little shower.
Are you
going to
be in a sweatshirt for that pregame show?
If I am,
I can't even. Summer is officially over.
No, I'm not going to do that.
No, I'm not going to do that.
I can't even begin to tell you how horny I would be if I'm wearing a sweatshirt at that game. I probably will be, because we'll be there early, and it's going to be the high is supposed to be 68 degrees. With a chance of a shower.
That's the high?
That's the high.
What's
for
Eugene
the day.
What's the time you're kicking off the pregame show?
The temperature...
That's the high. You're going to be right around 65.
Yeah, you'll be, let's see, 8 a.m. You'll be upper 50s.
Oh, when you're there.
We start at 8 a.m. on Saturday.
That
upper
is
50s.
That's a crisp
dude.
That's temperature.
Brisk.
That
we
is
call
a,
that brisk.
We call that perfect short and sweatshirt weather.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That's what I had during Hunter Coast.
Is it not?
Great.
It feels great. Does it not?
Oh,
you
dude.
Got
a
lip
little,
in the air.
You got a latte going?
A little latte. Oh. A little dew on the grass. Oh, man.
Anthony Newman,
dude.
Dusty, you better watch out. We might have a half-chub dirt hosting a pregame show.
If it's in the 50s at the start of that show, it might be full chub. Just wait and see. Saturday, we'll be down there at Autzen. Can't wait. More on the game throughout the course of the week. Let's stick in college football a little bit longer. We'll dive back into the NFL. A bunch of roster moves getting made, guys getting moved around, and a couple of decisions that are going to impact the health and availability of players at certain spots for certain teams. We'll get to that, but more college football next on The Fan.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, yesterday was NFL cut day. Maybe the most shocking move happened with your 49ers and a player they cut. We'll get to that in a moment.
I couldn't believe they cut him.
I mean, future was looking bright. I saw his workout videos. He was moving well. I guess John Lynch knows more than I do. I don't know. We'll leave it at that. We'll get to that in a moment. Left some NFL stuff to get to. Wanted to read a couple thoughts here at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. That did make me chuckle. Mike in Salem said, guys, I'm 53 years old. I'm already convinced myself I'm going to die without seeing the Ducks win a championship.
Jeez.
And another one, as a Bills fan, this hits a little close to home. I just bought a shirt that says, just one before I die, and it's a picture of a skeleton praying.
Oh, dude. I just, you know, I love the one from Mike in Salem, and it's like, I do wonder for you, because I don't have to live with this, you know what I mean? I just want them to see you win the Pac-12 title and go to a playoff and get drubbed in the first game. That's all I'm aiming for.
National championships weren't a reality. Whether you're in the old conference or the new conference, that was not a thing.
You sit in a much different situation where it's like, you know, they have been just as worthy of winning that as a handful of teams.
Right.
But then Indiana coming out of just out of nowhere and doing it, it's like,
bastards.
Wait, what?
I gave away. So they came out with the, I did this when you were out on Friday, the blue chip ratio rankings came out again this year. And it was notable for a couple. Georgia was number one. That was interesting to me because they're not really getting picked to win the national championship. But from that ratio standpoint,
nobody in the SEC is.
No, they're not even getting a first round or a first place vote. Oregon cracked the top three for the first time in program history. It ended like a 10-year stranglehold of Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, who had rotated as the top three teams. Let me ask you this. This blew my mind again. Not that I'm surprised because it happened last year. And clearly they are the... I guess we're still asking, are they the outlier or is this the new norm? Do you know from a blue chip talent perspective where Indiana ranks in the Big Ten this year?
I didn't see it. I don't know. I'm going to guess you're going to say something like 10th.
12th. And the list of teams, according to the ratio, that were more tough, was so funny to read. It was Oregon was one, Ohio State two, right? Michigan three, USC four, Washington five. I could go down Penn State six. Like, none of them were surprises. And then you get to, like, Nebraska, number nine. And I'm like, I still haven't seen Illinois, number eight. What?
Look.
They're the 12th most, according to that ranking, which they proved doesn't matter last year winning the title game. They are the 12th most talented team in the Big Ten this year.
And I think all I've been saying along this journey is not that a team that is high on the blue chip ranking won't win it. It's just merely like...
They clearly showed that doesn't matter to them. The question is, does it matter to anybody else?
It matters, but it doesn't have to really matter that much. Like if Oregon or Texas, or you mentioned Georgia, if they win the title, I'm not going to go, wow, I can't believe it. They have talent, yeah. Right. But also like teams that don't register in the top whatever of that ranking, we also shouldn't sit here and go, it doesn't make any sense. It's like, no, the world is such a different landscape in that sport than any of us have ever seen the last 3-4 years. You just have to be more open-minded to the idea that like this doesn't need to matter the same level it did for most of our childhood and our adult fandoms.
Yeah, they certainly showed that they can work their way around that. So I'm not surprised, and at least if they do it again this year.
So who
year,
had the ranking for this?
It's a 24/7 composite ranking. Okay. Is what they ranked one through whatever, 130 or whatever.
It's the
they
blue
broke it down.
Chip ranking?
I think that's what it's called, or composite rank, roster composite ranking. I can't remember exactly what
I want to look this
it.
Up, and I want to see the ranking myself because I want to go through and say, like, what's a number that we had talked about? No team below what ranking had never really
no
won
team
it?
Below a 50% blue chip threshold had ever won the national championship, sans Auburn with Cam Newton. That was the only outlier there. And that was one of the things that had held true year in and year out. Not that you couldn't be good. TCU got to the title game without being in that list. Washington got to the title game without being in that category. But it was the idea of winning a national championship. That was a barrier that nobody had broken down until
so
Indiana did it.
The 2026 CF college football team talent composite.
Yes.
So number one on this was Georgia, you mentioned?
Yep. Oregon is in the top three for the first time in program history.
Sorry, my laptop froze for the 98th time during the show, so that's just going to be...
The rest of the top 10, you could guess it, right? Like, we all know who it is.
Right.
And then you go down the first... It wasn't even necessarily that...
I'd love to go down the list and see the outside of the top 10 and say, how many title teams do we think there are?
Right, how many could actually do it? Let me see if I can pull it up. Since
don't worry, my laptop will unfreeze as soon as we're done with this conversation
right,
and go
we're
to a break.
Needing to it. I need team. Let's look at them in the break. We'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. Okay. One other odd and end note that I have from the opening weekend of college football season. It was not great football, but it was great having football on my TV. I'll say that. Did we catch any of a broadcasting debut this week?
No.
Okay.
Well, who?
Our guy, Brian Kelly, and his family.
Was he on the UNLV Memphis game?
He was not on the UNLV Memphis game. He was on the CBS Sports Network game calling North Dakota State, Jacksonville State.
Absolutely caught none of it.
Him and Adam Bredeman, I think is his name. He's a guy who does podcast stuff. I didn't know he was calling games now. And
was it good? Be honest. It's okay if he is.
It was. It was good.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, that's kind of funny that they buried him this far down the bench on CBS. that he's on the sports network calling a – there wasn't a huge slate, so I guess maybe that's fair. Maybe he'll get bigger games as the year goes on. But it's kind of a double takeaway for me because, as you joked about Patrick's G-spot earlier, where it didn't get off to a great start, right? UNLV didn't look good. I shouldn't say didn't look good, but they didn't win. They needed to win.
That's a big game.
Had to win that game. Jackson Arnold had moments, but other than that, Memphis was kind of the story. And maybe Memphis becomes that team, right? Hawaii was a trendy pick, and they were getting smoked by Stanford until they came back late, and then somehow Stanford still covered the spread. I circled that game on Friday going into the weekend because we saw a team do something very similar a number of years ago, and the rules in place did not allow them a chance to compete, and those rules are now out. And that is, there used to be when you make the FCS to FBS jump, you'd have to go on like a two-year bowl ban or whatever.
Yeah. Couldn't play in conference.
And James Madison did this. They went into the FBS level immediately and won their conference, but they weren't allowed to win the conference championship game or do any of that. They could have been a playoff team earlier with Kurt Cignetti when they first joined the FBS level. I watched a good chunk of that game because it kind of hit right in a perfect time in the afternoon where the USC game was kind of wrapped up. It was just kind of after that and then before some of the later games in the day started. North Dakota State looked the part, and I circled them coming in. They have been so dominant at the FCS level. There was nothing I saw from Hawaii this weekend that made me think, ooh, North Dakota State can't handle that. There was nothing I saw from UNLV that made me think, ooh, North Dakota State can't handle that. So it's certainly a big mountain for them to climb in year one at the FBS level. But that atmosphere was great. It was this idea of like, man, that was a banner moment for their program. First ever FBS game, and they came out. Brian Kelly was on the call. They whooped the crap out of Jacksonville State Saturday.
Brian Kelly, by the way, being really good in media is not surprising to me. I think he also views it as a way to smooth over the reputation and the idea that he may get another coaching gig. So I think somebody in his circle has said, dude, if you absolutely nail this, you will be coaching next year.
People hear how smart you are and give you another
because
job.
If you just sound competent and somewhat smart on football for a broadcast, we're suddenly going to put you in a pantheon that's not really real because we enjoy listening to you.
Yes. Dan Mullen, I mean, we'll see how it works out for Dan Mullen, but he was at ESPN for a long time.
I think the tough thing about that is making the jump to the FBS is always a tricky one. And you have examples of teams that have done it. And so far, like James Madison has sustained well, but it's early. App State did this and was fine. And now they're in a little bit of that. So it's like, can you sustain after the jump goes? Like, you made the jump. So now all your returning players, they're absolutely jacked. They're playing a higher level. They love to play those non-conference games anyway. But let's give this 3-4 years. Are they still funded well? Because price of tickets is going to go up, right? All of that stuff is going to increase because the demand is the increase.
Yep.
And then also your talent is probably going to get poached even more than it did when you were at the FCS level because more teams are aware of all of what's going on with your program. And so I think that's what's happened to some of these programs that have made that leap because you don't get a million of them. So I kind of wonder in 3-4 years, are we talking about North Dakota State being
a formidable force year in and year out?
Right.
Or do they fade into the background a little
bit? Do they kind of start fading? Yeah. And it's like, hey, they win eight games this year. They're a fine little program, but we don't really talk about them.
It was just an interesting one for me to monitor because I don't know how I would feel as a fan at that level because they were such a dominant program. And they won, I mean, how many national championships have they won in the last 15 years, right?
It's like, them or what?
Montana State, South Dakota State. Like, that's kind of the same run of the mill teams every couple of years that cycle through. But they have been the most dominant dynasty at that level of football for a very long time. And I don't like the idea of them winning a national championship is now out the window. They're never going to win another national championship in the history of their program unless they go back down because they'll never win an FBS national championship. It just is not going to happen from the G6 level. And I that's a weird conundrum to be in as a fan of like a dominant program, or do you want to seat at the big boy table with a chance for the college football playoff but never having a chance legitimately to win a championship, if that makes sense? I don't know what side I would come down on that.
What makes you more money? I think as a fan, you have to take that into account for your
FBS
program,
probably
not
has
you.
To make you more money, I'd imagine, right? Like you get into the playoff, West TV share, I would just assume. It was just fun, man. It was fun to see the atmosphere. They took the field. That place was packed to the gills. Mm-hmm. They were all in, dude. And so you're looking for a team. Boise State's out of the Mountain West now. They're in the Pac-12, obviously. They have been the dominant team in the Mountain West for a long time. And maybe UNLV fills those shoes. Maybe it's Hawaii. Maybe somebody else. I certainly love Timmy Chang and what he's done. But that just that one got me thinking this weekend of like, man, if North Dakota State could kind of harness this thing, hold on to their guys, They've always been a good developmental program. They put a lot of guys into the NFL. It's got a rabid fan support. Like, it's the only show in town. Like, I don't know. My brain was cooking on, man, they could become a nice force in the Mountain West for years to come.
My laptop unfroze.
Yes.
Notable teams. I don't think you'd say title winners, but notable teams.
Outside of the top 10?
Outside of top 10. George Tech?
Yeah.
Run the ball.
They got Mendoza's brother as a starting quarterback.
SMU?
Yep.
Quarterback coach combo returning again.
Could be a force in the ACC again.
Texas Tech is 29.
That's an interesting one.
It's a fascinating one. I know we don't have the expectation. Virginia Tech's 27. Mm. Penn State's 26.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
One of the talks of college football going into the year of a quick turnaround. Chesney, 25 at UCLA.
UCLA was higher than Indiana in a talent profile.
Oklahoma, 17th.
Hmm.
I don't think he's going to do it, but Beamer and South Carolina are 15th. Ole Miss is 14th, and Miami is 12th.
Interesting.
Those are all outside of the top 10.
Interesting.
So I have not held on to some of this stuff the way that we used to evaluate it.
Sure.
And I don't know who's going to win the title because so many teams can. I just think it's a matter of, you're going to have more than just one Indiana team win.
Well, I'll also just say this, that being outside the top 10 and being 12th in the Big Ten are a very different thing. Oh,
you're not wrong.
Because I think Indiana nationally legitimately is like...
They're 37th.
37th, okay.
Yeah, they're just below Arkansas and above Colorado.
Say that again?
They're just below Arkansas.
Okay.
And Syracuse.
Okay.
And they're barely above Colorado.
Fran Brown, dirty boy. He's going to shower a lot this year. Let's go pile up some dubs at the Q's, baby.
They're two ahead of TCU, like, who looked terrible.
So it's one thing to be like, man, they were 15th and they won. Like, you're ranked around Colorado and you won a national championship.
I know.
And they're probably a lot higher than they were going into the year last year. So that came out last week. More college football stuff. Let's get to it. Look, NFL cut day is always a big day. Has to be the most shocking. This guy couldn't pass the three different phases of waivers. Team had to cut him. We'll explain it next on The Fam.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine, in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. 8:44 on your Monday morning. Happy football season, everybody. It's here, baby. We made it. The long off season is over. We had actual games to talk about today. We got more to preview as the week goes on.
Have we talked a lot about the games, though?
No, not necessarily. The slate wasn't... I mean, look, it's a week zero slate, right? We were just excited to have football on our TV. I certainly watched a huge chunk of it. I ate way too many jalapeno poppers, and my stomach is still hurting from that, and a shocking development.
That's not something you want to go deep on.
Going back
I don't
to
know.
That when
I don't know.
You know it hurts you. Like, I don't eat things that I know upset my stomach.
Sometimes you need to feel something. Something, man.
Like, you know what does this to me is like a kielbasa.
A kielbasa.
Love it. Can't
they screw up your stomach, huh?
Bad.
Man, I couldn't live without kielbasa.
I can eat like an all-beef hot dog. Kielbasa,
that'll
over.
Do it. That'll do it to you.
It's over.
Yeah, I think there's a balance between just being a little uncomfortable and like, I have not touched or thought about Chipotle since food poisoning. I don't know how many months ago that was now, but I've not gone anywhere near that. There's something about football and jalapeno poppers. I can't not do it. I don't know what it is. I just can't not do it. It's like nachos on a random weekend. Well, we got a ton of things to react to in the National Football League because a lot of guys getting cut, roster moves getting made, all that, and some commissioners exempt lists going down. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour. But probably the biggest news out of the National Football League continued and surrounded your team over the weekend. They've had a very eventful NFL offseason. The 49ers have. Jed York trying to pick up a hooker in East Palestine, Ohio, substations. It's been an eventful offseason for the 49ers.
Yeah.
And it continued because they had to cut one of the biggest stars on their team. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this. I think one of the hard parts about making an NFL roster is that you need to pass three different levels of waivers. Like, I don't know how many people are aware of this, that there's three different phases. It's not just one phase of waivers. There are three different phases of waivers. And so when they cut DeJuan Love over the weekend, a lot of people were surprised. But let him explain to you, three phases of waivers are not easy to clear.
You already know how I get down. But matter of fact, you don't, because I'm in the NFL now. I don't know if I was in the league when I was with you, or I was almost in the league. So now I'm in the league. Last year, this was after me and you stopped talking, I ended up breaking my pinky on my left hand, and I didn't clear waivers before the season started. And in the NFL, you have to clear three parts of a waiver. There's a mental part of a waiver, an emotional part, and a physical part. So you can clear one out of the three or two out of the three, and you'll still be on the team. You just won't have an official roster spot on the team, and you won't be activated to play. So last year, by us going to the Super Bowl, I got to, like, take a lot of videos, pictures of, like, being an NFL player behind the scenes. So I took a lot of, like, dope. And plus, whose dream is it not to go to the Super Bowl your first year? So it was cool. But this year, I'm going to have a microsurgery.
If you pass all three phases. I'm not kidding you when I tell you.
The emotional, the mental, and the physical.
Have you passed emotional waivers lately? Did we clear emotional waivers going into the start of the football season?
I never pass is the emotional waiver one.
That's the only area I pass these days.
That's the only one you got? I'm not kidding you, dude. This has quickly become one of my favorite sports stories of all time.
Can you explain it to the people who aren't aware?
If you did not, I brought this up on Friday. This came out right at the end of the show. I saw that he got arrested. I think he got arrested in Portland. It happened here. I don't know how many girls he scammed here, but now I kind of want to know, and I'd love to get one of them on the show if they're willing to talk. Dude, that would be a great interview.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, anyways, so his name is DeJuan Love. Now, he went by multiple different aliases. I don't know if that's even his real name or not. He was arrested for years for pretending to be a NFL player.
Yeah.
And he would basically, I don't know how women were this dumb or this gold. Maybe they're that desperate to date a professional athlete, and that's as simple as the answer we're looking for here. He stole over the course of years a total of $1.3 million from like 30 different women, which if you break it out on a per-woman basis, that's a lot of money to be giving a guy for business opportunities who's proclaiming he broke his pinky. That's why you can't watch me on Sundays when that injury never keeps you out of the game. So he's been scamming girls. The videos that have come out, talk about filling your hole of humor over the weekend, man. He's on the beach with a 49er helmet doing, like, karaoke drills.
Yep.
He's running routes where some guy just throwing absolute meatball subs into the air. It's like floating in the wind. He's catching it. There's all these screenshots of messages he was sending girls about, hey, you want to go to Dave and Buster's, or excusing why he wasn't on the – hey, so when I look you up, why can't I find you on the roster?
Right.
He's got to come up with stuff like this. Well, it's the three levels of waivers. I didn't pass emotional. You could pass one of the three, but you got to pass all three. And there's a part of you that feels bad for the women involved, because $1.3 million in total is a lot of money. Also,
jeez, oh, Pete.
A bit of a Darwinism thing here. Like, if you're dumb enough to send an NFL player money, that's kind of on you. They wouldn't be asking you for money for business opportunities.
Yeah, you'd be thinking, I'm gonna marry into some money here. And yes. He's like, actually, I need you to give me money. And you're like, you know what? You're right. I'll give you the money.
You know what? Yeah, that's
like a down payment into a relationship.
Don't worry. It'll trickle back down, okay? It'll come back your way with these business ventures. You're going to see the returns.
Economics.
I promise a good return on my restaurant investments. And so this guy was arrested for stealing $1.3 million. And if you just want to spend 10 minutes on social media and have the laugh of your day, just search Dejan Love and what, because everybody has like screenshots of the videos that he would make, the messages that he would send to people. This was just an audio. He sent this to a girl explaining why he wasn't on an NFL roster.
Right.
And that those are the kind of things that popped up over the weekend.
It was fantastic. I enjoyed catching up to the story because I missed it when it first came out. The videos are hilarious.
Dude, the workout videos are some of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, dude. How you were that, like, talk about not being ball knowers.
I mean, but these people are not watching, reading, anything. Just, they're not consuming. Dude. They're just like, oh, you're a pro
Do you
athlete.
Not have a brother or dad in your life of like, hey, have you ever heard of this guy? Hey, does this look like an NFL workout?
I'm going to venture to guess.
There was videos of Myles Garrett jumping on a, did you see his jump box thing videos this
pool?
Weekend? No, there was one that he was doing on ground. He was basically jumping like over a car onto a box and then jumping back down.
Have you?
That's an NFL player, man. This guy's doing the karaoke slower than me.
Have you seen the water jug Aaron Donald video?
Yes.
He takes a water, like a work water jug, and he holds it out with one arm until it dumps all the water out. I just thought, how are you able?
How is that possible?
Like one handed?
Yeah.
No, I venture to guess they don't have somebody in their lives to tell them that this isn't a real NFL player. And if you can, if you talk to somebody, say, why aren't I finding you on the roster? And they can come up with something as long-winded as that. You'd be shocked how many people tune out halfway through and then they go, oh, okay.
Yeah, emotional waivers, man. I haven't passed emotional waivers either.
That's tough. I have the same thing in my job with my mental health waiver. I can't get through it.
Broke my pinky. I can't play this year.
You also would be... not stunned, but like the amount of just like being in the proximity of, I guess in this category, celebrity,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
yeah, how intoxicating that is for the idea of it.
An NFL player wants me.
My favorite was there, when he was doing a beach workout, there was an older gal walking by because he would do his beach workouts in a 49er helmet, right?
Yeah.
Like filming himself.
He
for
always
social
made
media.
Sure he had his team
always.
Stuff.
Always. It
showing.
Was always the 49ers, and he would he'd be working out. And this older lady looked like she was maybe in her mid 50s. Saw this guy working out in a 49er helmet, stopped him and asked for a picture because she thinks, oh, he must be somebody famous, right? Let's say, she takes his picture with him, sends it to, I want to say, either her son or nephew, and they release the back and forth where the aunt's like, I just met this NFL player for the 49ers. Do you know who he is? And the kid's like, that guy doesn't look, what number is he? Give me more details. And she gave him the number, and it was like number 4, but I think Jake Moody at the time was number 4. She was like, the kid's like, Mom, that's not an NFL player. And then she said, he was really nice. He drove away in a Honda Civic, though, so he must not be a starter. He's out cosplaying as an NFL player on the beach, man.
I mean, look, you gotta get him where you fit in. This guy's clearly a fraudster who was
1.3 million, dude. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's it sucks he Eddie's my team. My team's had a bad enough offseason already, and I had to find out that, like, oh, he was cosplaying as a Niner 2 years ago.
One of the better uses of AI I have seen was it was Jed York in his outfit he was arrested in for soliciting prostitution.
The Yankee
driving,
t-shirt.
And Dejan Love was sitting next to him in the passenger seat, and they were talking about his roster spot on the team this year, and it was hilarious. I do remember when it happened. We had this locally. There was the kid... was it Oregon or California? But he committed to Cal.
He did the big commitment.
And he faked the whole thing.
And people found out that Cal didn't know who he was or offer
him. Oregon was one of his finalists. It was Oregon, Cal, and somebody else. And he hoodwinked the entire school administration staff into thinking he was committing at a ceremony. And everybody's like, who the hell is this guy?
Well, do you remember the 24-year-old that was masquerading as a high schooler playing on the basketball team? And they pulled him over?
That's right.
They found out he was 24?
What are you doing here, man? I mean, get out of here.
I want to be attached with whatever. That is, man.
Yeah, if you want a good chuckle, go look up more details of the Dejan Love story, because that one was absolutely hilarious.
Is there any scenario where you guys think you could fall for this, but in a different realm of society? I don't know what it would be.
I want to say no, but I also like they're getting pretty good at this stuff. Not this case, because I'm not dumb enough for that.
Well, like, you're like, how do these women not know he's not a pro athlete? It's like, I don't think that's very hard to not know.
Well, let me just ask you this, though. Like, I guess it would be different because this would be more like catfishing, but somebody like pretending to be Reese Witherspoon messages you on Instagram.
Well, so,
and I know that's different because it's not a real person, but you get my point.
So one of our van mates noticed a reality star from a show called Love is Blind.
Okay.
Never seen this, heard of it.
I think that's where you can't see the person, right? You're dating.
You talk,
kind of thing.
You get married.
Yeah. It's one of those TLC things, I believe.
I think it's
like
a Netflix
90
show.
Day fine, fiance,
yeah, like
that
one of those.
Stuff.
Anyways, our van mate noticed him and was like, oh my God, it was so and so. And I was like, who's that? And then they explained. I'm like, what's that show? Then we became a quest to find this guy. And I said, what does he look like? Hot black guy that looks famous. So now every black guy I saw in North Dakota, I'm like, hot black guy looks famous. No, that's not him.
No, that's not him. No. What about that one over there?
Finally found him, got a photo with him, and I just thought, there's so many people in so many different worlds that I would not know.
That's true.
Who they are or what they do.
That's a valid point.
I think it'd be easy now, but when you're shelling out money.
Yeah, like if somebody's asking you for money in that world, like what are you doing?
Like,
man?
They said one of the gals on that show, the guy said, what do you look like? And she said, some people say I look like Megan Fox. And he went, I'm in. He committed. They do the reveal.
Oh, no. Mm. I'm going to go out on a limb and say not Megan Fox.
What was the Mike and Molly gal's name?
Oh.
Is that Melissa McCarthy?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, and you sold yourself as Megan Fox?
Right. So I think it's very easy for people to fall into the web.
Yeah.
But when they're like, yo, Venmo me, it's like.
Don't send money to a Nigerian prince. It's a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
Dejan Love, cut by the 49ers. Big cut day around the league. That certainly was the biggest move. The Niners will need a little more depth at wide receiver without their stud 36-year-old. Let's get to the rest of the actual moves that happened in the NFL. One team's response at running back, some other add-ons and cuts and trades that went down over the weekend. We'll dive back into the NFL to kick off the final hour of the radio program. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not not magic.